Amen. Amen. Well, Book of Revelation, if you go on the internet, www.victory-baptist.net, you'll see a five-year study of this. If you want a bunch of verses, a bunch of stuff you're not going to remember, right? It's on there. We're trying to make it a little bit simpler this time. Just going to show you some things, how we start. Everybody knows that it says it is the revelation of who? John? No. Of who? Jesus Christ. Did you read that? It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, and then it goes, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So you got God the Father, God the Son, Holy Ghost over there to the angel, to John, and that's the way it is. And we went through chapter 1 already, and we're in chapter 2. And we're approaching those churches at the beginning of the book of Revelation. And we know that the church is not mentioned after chapter 4. We know this. Do you know this? Okay. And you know what it says in chapter 4, verse 1, right? It says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. Okay? So we know as when we look at those churches, and once again, there's a deeper study on our thing there, but I wanted you to know that those seven churches are not only at the present time churches when it was written, but they go throughout their geographical locations. Their assemblies of people, and during the tribulation period, they're going to be mentioned again. And then you can also look at this, not only as already taken place, going to take place, but also prophetically, if you remember when we went through the different designations of how to take it, and I'm trying to get this, like I say, and trying to go through this five-year notes and not load you down with a bunch of things. But they are local churches at the time of writing. Number two, there is a personal application to local churches whereby they can judge, where we can judge them spiritually. You can judge any church really spiritually by certain things. And three, there is a personal application as the individual. The check is motive and actions as to service of our Lord Jesus Christ. And fourthly, there is a prophetic application because there is a spiritual progression of the church historically. What does that mean? Well, you can trace what was going on in those eras and associate it with different things like the Catholic Church. And we'll probably get into that too. But first, let's read chapter 2. We won't get into the different prophetic application yet, but I want you to see this church again. It says, I'm the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are what? Apostles, and are not, see that, and has found them what? Liars. Now, apparently, back in this time, there were people running around that said they were apostles, and they weren't. I don't know if you notice we have a lot of people running around today claiming that. Isn't it something when those snake handlers, all of a sudden the guy gets bit and he dies and it's all over the news? You know, anytime they can get anything like that, man, you know. Or the Westboro, that dude finally croaked and went to his reward, right? And then they try protesting, and the entire town gets up now, I heard, from the news, and they protested. Where have they been all these years? You know? But because it's Westboro what? Baptist Church. Even our sheriffs in Oakland County thought we were like that. If I didn't have them, I would have never known if I didn't have them come out to our house one time and and somebody wrote something on our mailbox, you know. I don't know why they would do that. All I have was, if you're an American, speak America. You know, little stuff like that on my mailbox. I don't know why they do that, but, you know. And I just wanted them to know, in case I saw somebody with a bat trying to beat up my mailbox and I happened to stop them, that it wouldn't be a new thing, that the police would be aware of it. And he started talking to me about this group, and I looked at him, I said, are you crazy or something? This guy's, those people are nuts. I said, look at our window. And we had the star with Tim's in Afghanistan, Marine Corps, you know, and all that. And he goes, yeah, it is sort of weird. I said, weird? You know of any other churches doing that? No. Did I say I agree with the queers, the sodomites? No. Is God against them? Yeah. Is God against all sin? Yes. Got to get saved. But for me to go out there and say these guys died because of that specific sin, oh, America's been racking up sin long before these suckers got ahead of the game. Our pride got us in a lot of problems. But anyway, this is you know, they see this and they associate everything. and it's when you first get somebody saved at a job or a place, you know, and where they're working, it's almost like the devil or somebody brings these people out of the woodwork. Have you got the gift of tongues yet? You spoken tongues yet? You can't be saved unless you got that gift. You know, another person come over there. Hey, did you know this? Hey, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You know, and all this stuff, you know, and they're coming to you crying. It says that there's a verse in the Bible. I said, oh, there's a verse in the Bible. Lots of eight verses in the Bible. The Bible says we judge all things by what? Scripture. Comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. Now, I asked you, what's spiritual on planet Earth? Holy Spirit. Okay. Anything else? The Word of God. The third component is Bible-believing people that have been born again by the Spirit of God, because they're sealed with the Spirit of God. That's why you can judge everything spiritually, but how are you going to judge everything spiritually unless you got the book? Then you take all the commentaries and everything, you put them in a garbage bag if they disagree with the book. You got to have more than one verse, for crying out loud. I know more than John 3:16 to prove I'm saved. Did I need more? Not to get saved, really. You could probably get that. The Holy Ghost convict you of your sin. You say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. But here we see the first church mentioned is Ephesus. And all these works that it did. Let me just finish reading this so you'll get the picture of the whole church. Verse 2. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. I mean, what a church. What a church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou what? Repent. But this thou hatest, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate, and that'll be something we can go into next week. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, under Lord Jesus Christ, that word overcometh, if you were to go through the Bible, you'll find in the tribulation period there's some people there that overcome by the blood of the Lamb, keeping the commandments. If you also know that Paul says that we're overcomer. That's a good thing. Okay, but I want to concentrate on, they say there are apostles. Go to 1 John 4:1 first. 1 John 4:1. I want to show you something. We covered this last, the Wednesday before last. It says this, Beloved, believe not every what? Spirit. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. It says spirits. Can you see spirits? No, you can't see spirits, but you can experience them, can't you? And I showed you before how words, when we talk words, spirit, our spirit is behind words. Your little S spirit, not the Holy Ghost, your spirit. You know, most Christians don't even understand the trichotomy of man. They don't know that their body, soul, and spirit either. Some think they're dichotomy, just two things. No, you got a body. You got a soul inside you and a spirit. And that spirit's what connects with God. Now, before you were saved, did you have a spirit? Oh, no, because it was dead. It was dead unto God, but you had a spirit. Because your father was the devil. When you got born again, your spirit was regenerated. It was made alive so you could talk to God. People don't even know that simple stuff in the Bible anymore. They don't. So that's why you have to bring them to like, okay, I'm watching a hockey game, right? I can almost tell what's going on when I come in that door, when I get a ticket. When I come in that big arena, something gets a hold of my spirit. It's like electricity. And it's like if there's going to be a bad call, it's like we all know it's a bad call. It's some weird stuff going on in that arena. I'm telling you what, it wasn't like you just noticed the call. It was like everybody noticed the call. And when they scored, oh my goodness, inside of me. There was a good word once. It was called enthusiasm. Everybody wants you to be enthused. The word means in God. That's where it comes from. People don't even know that, but they tell you, be a good fan. Be a good fan. Your spirit's got to be in it. Them coaches, you know what they do? They stir your spirit up. There's something in there, man. Life is a spirit. And anyway, when you got born again, something happened to you, man. You got quickened. First time in your life, you finally looked at yourself, the old man, as God does. Wicked as hell, no good for nothing. And why in the world did he ever make me worthy of heaven? You never thought about that when you was walking around. Worst thing you could have got if you were even suicidal was thought you had bad luck or something, or all the gods hated you or something, because things weren't going right. It's amazing how some Christians they doubt their salvation. And you say, why? Because I'm so wicked. And I'll sit down, when did you get saved? I was 21. And you say, you're wicked? Yeah. Were you wicked like before you were saved? Yeah, right? It's one of those trick questions, right, preacher? No. Did you feel like you were wicked before you were saved? When did business come up? When you realized you were wicked enough to go to hell and you got saved. And then after you got saved, Holy Ghost moved in. That's the big flashlight. And now you're seeing this outside person like God sees it and you're saying, you know, just that little thing I just said right now would give people assurance of their salvation. Wouldn't it? I thought so. Okay. So over here in 1 John 4:1, it's talking about judge them. In other words, when you're getting moved away, you know, here's this guy with a little diamond going off in his teeth and he's smiling all the time. Never got a bad thing to say. He's positive about everybody. Amen, amen. And you get all motivated. You'd be writing them checks. Then the preacher says, man, that guy's with the devil, man. He never tells anybody how to get saved. He don't believe in hell. I know ain't nobody in here giving him any money. Never. They get mad at the preacher. Well, then show me when he did. Oh, you didn't try the spirits. Oh, I see the smiley face and the smooth talk just got you, didn't it? You poor baby. I remember Doc was always talking about his shepherds, and it's the same with me. I can call them shepherds every name out of the book. Smack them, beat them up. You know what they do? He comes running back to me and puts his head right in my lap. He don't even fear for his life. Anyway, they're not getting into that. This is why this teaching. I'm going to stay focused. Isaiah chapter 8. So there it talks about spirits. Talks about you're supposed to have control. You're supposed to understand what's going on. You're supposed to have some kind of sense, Christian. And I don't know how you can have sense in this day and age when everybody, if they do good works, everybody thinks they're saved. Verse 20. This is what the Bible says in Isaiah 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. What a verse to find in the Old Testament. You know, Isaiah is a small little Bible, ain't it? 66 chapters, like 66 books of the Bible. 39th chapter talks about that cry in the wilderness. 39th one in the New Testament, remember that? Going from the Old Testament to the New Testament is John the Baptist, crying in the wilderness. One day we'll do a study of that. It'll blow your mind. Somebody says, why do you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? Are you crazy? What would I believe what you got is the Word of God? I can show you why I believe this one. God's proved himself with this one. Okay, so you see this? You got to try the spirits. And God's focus, and always has been, is on his Word. Now, one time it was oral, right from him from heaven. Then he used prophets, correct? And he, for the Jew, they always seek after what? A sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. That's in your Bible. It's New Testament. Okay? So if they seek after a sign, why? Because God told them to. That's when Moses came on the scene. Remember the first sign? Leprosy and stuff. Remember the thing like that? And he told them, a prophet, if they prophesy, they have to be 100% right. Or what did he say to do to them? Stone them to death. You know what happened to the prophet population? It stayed the same. The false prophet stopped. Why? Shoot. I ain't making no money. If I'm wrong one time, I'm dead. You know, I'm right this time, and all of a sudden I make me some money. But if I'm wrong next time, they're going to stone me and probably stone my family. Why? Because God said so. Why? Because you ain't a prophet. So we're living in a day and age now where everybody's claiming terms from the Old Testament, and nobody's really trying to prove them. And I know if you go to some church, you're going to find out a preacher's going to say, you're called to do this, and you're called, God told me. And they go through this whole big ordeal, I'm telling you. And or somebody over there will have gibberish. Another person over here said, I know what the sister's saying. I know what the sister is saying. And another one over here, I know what that sister's saying. You know, because somebody's got to understand the gift, right? And explain it. And so everybody's like this. Wow. I can't understand what she's saying. But she said it in English so that we're not barbarians. So we understand that what God's doing. He's working through her to say what that person over there is saying. And they're both excited. And I believe everything that they say. Problem is, you don't have Bible on it. Number one, the entire book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, is to a backslidden church, number one. Number two, in administering of gifts, women are forbidden to speak in church during that time. And most of these churches, you know who's doing all the speaking? Women. Oh, man, here we go. Anti-woman. Just read your Bible. Please read your Bible. George likes this. This is like evolution, right? Hope I get the figures right. Watch carefully, because I'm the preacher. This is 100 years old, Kurt. Believe me, it's 100 years old. How do you know that, preacher? I mean, if you were smart, you'd ask, right? Because this is 99. Rest my case. Okay, let's go back. Wow. You know, this rock is 1 million years old because it's 999,000 years old. And they go off to school like that. Anyway. That's Christianity today in most cases. Nobody's questioning them. In a church, all of a sudden, this person's puffed up because they say they got the gift. This person in the back all puffed up saying, They'd be somebody like that. And if you question them, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You did the unpardonable sin. What happens? You need to get saved again. There's weird stuff going on in these places and in these times. Okay, so the apostles now. We're talking about the apostles because remember that we're talking about that church, Ephesus, and how they questioned these apostles. They didn't put up with that junk. Just like somebody comes in here and says, oh, preacher, God told me to speak. I'd say, that's nice, but you ain't speaking in here. Well, how dare you blaspheme God? God told me. He didn't tell me. Why did he leave me out? Well, I'll kick the dust off my feet. Adios, muchachos. What an idiot. That ever happened? Yes! Preacher, you're just not sensitive to people's... No kidding, Sherlock. You know what I did? I tried the spirits. How dare them violate every scripture about local church, about pastors, about teachers in the local church, according to Ephesians chapter 4:11. Come in and tell me that? Believe me, if God was in him, God would have spoke to me even when he came in. We have a camp meeting here. There's a lot of strange stuff goes on. But they're speaking in the right language. And when God's Holy Spirit moves in, guess what? If I'm supposed to have somebody up here and preach, and it's happened, I'll sit over here and all of a sudden God get a hold of me, getting a hold of all of you. Ain't nobody preaching in here. Why? Why should you ruin something like this if God's talking to people in their spirits? Oh, preacher, that's spooky. Well, Scripture, Holy Ghost does a whole lot of talking. We just don't listen a lot of times. That's why meetings are good to wear you down. Wear you down. Get rid of your pride. So anyway, the apostles were entrusted with the signs and wonders. Signs and wonders, yes. Which were wrought to confirm the New Testament doctrines during the interval between the ascension of Jesus and the recording of the New Testament scriptures. Really? Yeah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Now, if you pay attention to these verses, it'll help you. And I know it's 7:45. I'm going to try to get through this because all of us aren't feeling the best either today still. But I just don't want you to see this. And like I say, either get the CD. I'll try to give you more information. But if you haven't come across these birds, you're going to come across them. All sorts of people are saying they're prophets and all these kinds of things. I'll tell you, last person I claim as a prophet would be Roloff. Brother Roloff, Lester Roloff in this country. See, a prophet's not going to contradict Scripture. He's not going to get he's not going to get something other than Scripture. It's not going to contradict Scripture. If it could contradict Scripture, we don't need Scripture. We'll just wait around for God to continue to speak to us, right? And there's a lot of that going on today. That's why you have a lot of these versions out there and everybody's buying it. But anyway, over here we have chapter 12. Look at verse 12. It says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders, and what? Mighty deeds. So, we ask somebody, we'll consider the claimant. We'll say, is this apostle, does he have these things? He's claiming this. Does he have these? Does he have what it says right here? That's the first thing you've got to answer. Now, the signs are five in number. No way. Yes, way. You mean God's even got the number of signs? Go to Mark. Why do you go to Mark? Because they always go there. These people that believe this stuff always go there to try to take you, make you lose your salvation somewhere. They're always in there somewhere in Mark. You ever notice that? Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Well, let's go to the book of Romans. Well, no. You get back over here in Matthew. You go over here in Mark. I'm going to show you how you've fallen from grace. Like you lost your salvation. Like you got to endure until the end. Idiots. That's not nice, preacher. That's where church is small. When you get called an idiot enough times, you want to leave. Well, if you believe that, you're an idiot. You can listen to that caustic fellow. What's his name? He's down there. Oh, you mean the guy I just got a video on? 93 years old street preaching. 93 years old street preaching. That guy? You mean like about 200 people, like, out there pastoring and missionaries and everything? You mean that guy? Oh, the guy with, like, 1,000 IQ, you mean? 8 different languages? PhD from Bob Jones University? That guy. Preacher, don't keep us in suspense. Well, I am. Mark 16. Are you in Mark 16, the famous Mark 16? Okay. Look at verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. Why do they always eliminate belief and just make it a matter of baptism? I don't know, but they do. They just read Bible funny. Do we get baptized here? We're a Baptist church, aren't we? Does that save you? Nope. Niente. No. What saves you? The blood of Jesus Christ. You repented. How'd you repent? You didn't trust anything else. You just trusted Him. You asked Him to save you. Then you were baptized. As what? An act of obedience. Same reason we're not Catholics. We don't drink the blood of Jesus Christ and it turns into the actual blood. Or eat the bread and say that's His actual body, making us vampires and cannibals. In every old movie you were brought up with, all you see is some priest there exercising vampires, and they're over there around, you know, around the people, around the animal, you know, the plates in their mouths and junk. I'm not talking about America. I mean, I know it's looking like it now, but back in the old day with the bones in their noses and stuff, you know, it's all the collar guys was always there. Yeah. No, we're not talking about that. Do you see verse 16? Okay. Now look at verse 17. And these signs, what does it say? And these signs, what does that mean? That means there's some signs coming down here. Okay, the next thing we're going to be talking about is some signs. And they're going to be particular signs. Why? Look what it says. And these signs shall follow them that believe. All right, now are you ready? In my name shall they cast out what? Okay. They shall speak with what? New tongues, not babbling. They shall take up what? And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Right? Also, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? That's what it says. I don't see in any of that part of the verse where the person had to believe or do anything to have this happen. The only thing I see belief in is the first part about being saved, opposite of baptism. Did you see that when we first started? But it was in connection with these verses, but it wasn't specifically about the signs. That's why this starts off saying, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And we're talking about apostles. All right? So does the claimant, this person that thinks he's an apostle, have all five signs? All right. Here the courtroom becomes noisy. The so-called apostle will refuse to drink the poison or blame the sick man's lack of faith for his failure to be healed. Yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Or mutter about not tempting God when offered a cobra. See, either you have signs or you're a liar. They will bounce anywhere to pick a little part of a verse here and there to try to show you they know the Bible. I know Pentecostals, man. I'm telling you what. I think they memorized the whole Bible. They got it down. Praise the Lord. I even think a lot of them are genuinely born again saved, but their doctrine's messed up. If your doctrine's messed up, guess what? If you don't think there's a devil and he can affect you, you're out of your mind. I know a lot of born again people that are messed up now, out of the will of God. Number one, a lot of them because they don't want authority. They are rebels and always will be rebels. They won't be under anybody. I'm serious. There's some that got mad at God because they prayed and maybe one of their child died. Maybe their marriage got messed up. Maybe the wife wasn't faithful. There's all sorts of things like this, all sorts of almost legitimate excuses. And these people are born again and they're saved. And I sympathize with them, but then I show them Bible and show them how God loves them unconditionally. How he knows the end from the beginning. You can't get mad at God. You can't be bitter with God. You know? It's like nowadays, everybody doesn't want a building. Yeah. That's a new thing, really honest. It's not new. It's been around. Listen, anybody that can't get along with anybody, but he wants followers, instead of him going and leading them to the Lord and starting a church, he takes them from different churches. He looks for the sheep that are just growing in the Lord, and he shows them some miraculous thing in the Bible to try to uplift himself as some kind of great teacher. Then he gets them all together, and then we don't have to meet regularly. You don't have to give tithes off. You don't have to do nothing, man. You know, they didn't do it. Listen, let me take you to Acts period. From house to house. See that? I had one of these guys that says, man, you're right. Hallelujah. Are you right, brother? Eyes getting all buggy-eyed. I said, ain't that funny? The Jews had all them synagogues. Ain't that weird?
Yeah, that's the Jews, man. It's under the law, man.
Oh, you know what I thought it was?
What, man, what?
I thought they weren't being persecuted so they could finally, birds of a feather flock together. They finally got him a building where they can meet at. And he stood there and was thinking. Huh. Now, why in the world wouldn't the Christians have a place to meet at during that time? They were under persecution. They were being scattered, you idiot. They just don't read Bible. And so for 2,000 years, you know, it's been longer than that since Christ, right? Died on the cross. Been longer. So for all this time, all these churches have been out of the will of God. And they claim Paul is their apostle, and they don't even read him. Hey, Titus, go over there, you know, get things in order over at this place here. Get some elders going here. Hey, God, what do you mean it's a gift? What's a gift? The pastor. What's a pastor? Ephesians 4. Paul wrote that. Ephesians, fantastic book, isn't it? Gives us security. Yeah. I ought to read 4, 11, and 12 and on. Until the body comes together perfectly. Well, I know we're all being conformed to the image of Christ, but when we see him, we'll be like him. So until then, you need to do what the Bible tells you to do. You need to have pastors. Just these evangelists. And deacons. This is the Bible. But preacher. No, but nothing. You're a rebel. You don't want to be under anybody. You don't want nobody telling you what to do. That's the bottom line, number one. You got a bad spirit. That's why you can't get along with anybody. Birds of a feather flock together. Crying out loud, you can't get along with the brethren? The Bible says to love the brethren. A lot of times people are just too much in themselves. So you get these people that claim something that they're not. And when you start calling them out, you know. Anyway, the signs will be used to confirm the word to unbelieving Jews. They will not be part of worship services, nor will they be used to impress believers. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The issue tonight is about people claiming to have these gifts, and then they somehow conveniently only have one of the gifts, and the other apostles or something they know got the other gifts, and that's never been directed in the Word of God, singularly. These signs will follow. And if we're talking apostles, we're talking Mark, and them guys got together, and they told these people, if these guys claim to be apostles, these signs should follow them. And over here in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, and verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Look what Paul says. But we preach, this is the Apostle Paul, this is the Corinthians, Christ crucified unto the who? Jews the what? Stumbling block. And unto the Greeks what? Foolishness. You know, Paul killed a whole lot of people, or had them killed. Remember, we went through that already, with Stephen being that deacon and Paul being called right after that to be the Gentile preacher. And, you know, he would preach to them Jews, and some would believe, some wouldn't. So what would cause a Jew to look at these guys if they produce signs and wonders? And then 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go to chapter 14. Are you getting any, I know you're not going to remember all this stuff, but are you getting anything at least while I'm speaking it? Are you understanding it? Okay. Because that's what has to be done. Over here in 1 Corinthians 14, because as you grow in the Lord, you're going to come across all sorts of people. You're going to say, well, why are they bad, preacher? Why are they not bad? Why are they little, you know? And that's normal growth as a Christian. That's like a kid saying, why? Because everybody's got a verse, right? That's what they say about us. Well, you got your verses, we got our verses. Well, we're just making verses with verses. So we'll take your verses and we'll mix them with verses. And we'll see if the verses go together. Over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 22. Look what it says. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. See that? Sign. Signs are to who? Exactly. Now look what it says, though. And they missed this. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And then it says, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Prophesying, yes, for telling the truth. That's preaching the book. The sign. So, does the one on trial use the sign gifts in evangelistic outreach to Jews who have not the written scriptures? If not, then there's no light in them. The signs are to the unbelieving Jew. Now, God gave the sign gifts to the church. Really? Yeah. 1 Corinthians. Now look at the wording. He gives it to the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31. The Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First what? Look at that. Now get a hold of this. This is when the church started. The church started when Christ said, upon this rock, I will what? I will build my church. Future tense. And you get to Ephesians, you're going to find out everything started with that resurrection. Because that was the approval of God. The sin was taken care of at the death of Christ. Right? We died in Christ. Everything's been judged. The resurrection. So we got the resurrection starting this thing. We got the empowering in Acts at Pentecost. Because it was something the Lord said was going to happen. It was coming down to empower the church. It empowered the church. At that time, was it a Gentile church? Nay, nay. You got the Jewish apostles here, man. The 120 up in the room, they were told to start in Jerusalem, right? Then Judea, uttermost parts of the world. They were dealing with all these Jews. Well, how in the world are you going to get Jesus Christ and him crucifying the resurrection? Sure, there were 500 witnesses on the hill when he ascended. They were going nuts saying, no, it's Jesus Christ. But how are you going to make a Jew believe after God told him in the Old Testament, you don't believe unless there's a sign? I'll let you know. Didn't the magicians in Egypt have signs? They didn't have God signs, and God showed them who was boss. But the Jews could have easily went with the Egyptians saying, look what they're doing, being deceived, right? So you got these apostles going out performing signs and wonders. Why? So the Jew will look at them and then they'll give them the truth. they'll hear the truth because they'll say, these men must be of God. And you see this consistently happening until Stephen, that deacon's killed. And then the first person that's almost saved like us is a black man on a chariot in Romans chapter 8. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip's called what? An evangelist. And the Holy Ghost makes him go to that black man. A black man. Yeah. He was the treasurer of who? Queen Candace from Ethiopia. He was a proselytic Jew. And all of a sudden the guy gets on the scriptures. Philip, not guy, you know, Candace. I'm paraphrasing. It is not the word of God. It's me just talking, okay, in conversation. And all of a sudden he tells this guy, understandest what thou readest? And it just happens to be in Isaiah 53, just happens to be coming from Pentecost, right? Yeah. And Philip says, understands what thou believest? He says, how can I except some man show me? And he began the scriptures and taught him who? Jesus. And all of a sudden the Jews, they get baptized to get rid of real repentance. Jews get baptized. Did you know that? Yeah, remove sin or something or guilt or something. And all of a sudden he says, wow, see here is water. What does it mean to be baptized? Go over there to Romans, not now. Go to Acts 8 and you get around 37 and stuff. And he says, if thou believest, thou mayest. In other words, the water ain't going to clean you up, but you got to believe. Doesn't it sound like that verse, Mark? Yeah. And so he says, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. Both Philip and the eunuch went down. He did baptize him and immediately come up rejoicing. What a type. And we all know God's number 8 is new beginning, like octos and octopus. And anyway, 8, new beginning, you know, 7 days a week. Amen. 8th day would be Monday, right? It's weird, isn't it? No, it was only 7 days a week. New beginning. New beginning is 8. Fruitfulness is 9, like 9 months for a baby, and you go through all that system of numbers. So you got the Ethiopian eunuch in chapter 8. And you have who in chapter 9? Apostle Paul. And who's he going to? Gentiles. And he even left his dear friend in Miletus sick. So you see how the powers aren't being used anymore. As the scripture and epistles are being written. That's why you don't see this stuff mentioned anymore. But they don't get it. Who? False apostles. People that don't have their doctrine right. That's why they're so messed up in their security. Hope you get some of this. I'm just trying to help you out. Anyway, so God gave the sign gifts to the church. That's why he says some will be the apostles and teachers. This is how it started, okay? Now look, but not for the church. Who's the church? We are. There's Jew, Gentile, church. Give no offense to who? The Jew, the Gentile, or the church of God. There's a difference between a Jew and a Gentile and the church. Okay? Now go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're not going to finish this. I knew it because of my rambling. I get carried away with everything else all the time. But if it's in there, it comes out pretty good. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's read verses 8 to 16. 8 to 16. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now look what it says in 11. And he gave some apostles, now watch it, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Is that what it says? Yes, that's what it says. 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now look what it says. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now look what it says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So being a Rambo or being a renegade or whatever, it just shows that there's something wrong. You've got no connection. Why would you not want to be around other Christians? Because you're smarter and you're holier. We understand. One never sees the modern tongues talker headed for a foreign field to use the gift for missionary work. One never sees the modern healer emptying a hospital. They confine their gifts to performances in a church gathering. Why? Because they're liars. Preacher, there you go again. Liars. Liars. If you had the gift of healing, would you go to the burn center down at Children's Hospital? Would you go down there? You'd never leave. You see all them little kids coming in all messed up? Crack babies and everything? You wouldn't be in there just healing them? Why ain't they there? They can't make a buck out of it. Remember taking my wife? See, here we go again. Oh, Lord, help me, please. Took my wife, when we first got saved, we even had the way, okay? Because the guy had a Harley Davidson. I come out of bike club, and I figured it had to be a good Bible. You know? Whoa. Anyway, we went to this Jimmy Swagger concert. Jimmy Swagger concert. And I was in there for a while, me and my wife, and here we are. It had to be in the 70s because we just come to God. And I'm looking at her, and we went there because her mother loves this guy. So we brought her mother. It's Toba Hall. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling weird. I looked at her, and I said, because I don't know this new thing, what's going on. You know, I come out of drugs and everything, so I figured maybe I'm getting a reoccurrence or something. But it was weird, man. I felt getting real weird inside, my stomach aches. I took that away, and I put it on my head. She goes, everybody's looking at you. What are you doing? I said, I don't know. It feels like something's trying to get on me or something, man. Then the dude, and towards the end of the message, he comes up to her. I know some of you ain't believing. I can sense your spirit. And he's going, it looked like he was looking right up at us, and we was up there, too. I'm saying, oh, we got found out, you know, or something. And then they're wheeling all these people because he's got all these crutches and everything. They're already laying there. So I didn't see nobody, you know, get rid of them. But they're wheeling all these people in wheelchairs. And, you know, you could see them crying. You know why? They didn't have enough faith to get healed. And I knew there was something wrong with this picture. And thank God, God took me over there to Paul when he prayed to God thrice. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So that we live by faith, not by sight. And that the signs and wonders are a gift in the Old Testament, under Old Testament conditions. And can God heal? 100% if he wants to. Does that mean I don't have enough faith if I'm not healed? You won't find that in Scripture nowhere. Unless you're under signs and wonders. And even then, think about it. Peter could walk his shadow and heal people. Anyway, charlatans are born all the time. If a person is taught certain verses in the Bible and never go out of that, and fear comes upon them because they think that they're going to do the blaspheme of all blasphemes, lose their salvation. You can contain people by that kind of fear. That's what Catholic Church does, keep them in their church. But if you got the Bible and you just look at this, and like I told the brother today about what a testament is, and how grace and truth come by Jesus Christ, and the law of Moses come by John the Baptist, it says if you just use the verses, it would enlighten you and give you such peace and relief that you're not under that condition. Man, what a service to the Lord. In order to be an apostle, one had to have among the Lord's disciples during his public ministry on earth and have been a witness of his resurrection. What? Did I just say that? In order to be a real apostle, One had to have among the Lord's, had to been among the Lord's disciples during his public ministry on earth and have been a witness of his resurrection? No way, Jose. Where does it say that? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. You know how they always like, be baptized, remission of sin. We're in Acts chapter 2 and 38, you know, that kind of stuff. They just love that stuff, don't they? Love being a Jew. They just love being a Jew. I love being in the church myself. Over here in Acts chapter 1, I'm going to show you something here. Pay attention. King James Bible. It'll straighten you out, and this will be the last. Yeah, I better stop there. It gets crazy. Okay, next week we'll continue, Lord willing, on the same theme of the apostles, okay? But right now, we're going to go to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to see they have to have credentials. They have to have a pedigree, amen? And over here in Acts chapter 1, like I keep telling you because I keep turning because I didn't go there yet, chapter 1 and okay. Let's start in 15 so you get the context, okay? Because you know there was 12 disciples, right? One hung himself. Everybody understand that? That was Judas Iscariot, son of perdition. Went to his place. That guy. Okay, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Yes, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Who did? The Holy Ghost did. Where did he mention it? It's in the Old Testament. You have to do it yourself. Verse 17. What is this? This is a prophecy that has been fulfilled now because Judas did what he had to do. 17. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It's like King James. We'll paint a picture. Who's that? Judas. You know, he hung himself when he died. You know, stuff, you know. Anyway, verse 19. Kids love it. It's just adults got a problem with it. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, a kadama, or that could be long E. I could just say what I just said and just leave it there. That is to say, the field of what? Blood. So they named it the field of blood, okay? For it is written in the book of Psalms. How about that? It even tells you where to look for the prophecy. Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Do you see that? In other words, they said that this thing was going to happen, and after it happened, you got to get somebody to replace them. That's what it means, all right? Now look at 21. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all, now look what it says, us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the, now look what it says, it's giving you credentials, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Lord, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he might take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So we'll stop the study right now with this apostles, but I've given you a whole lot of things showing you that signs were to the Jew. And here to pick an apostle? He had to be back from when John was baptized. So I go to these guys, I show them verses, right? Well, it don't really, that was, you know, under there. And what do you mean that was there? Peter and the guys, you know, the real people, you know, like real Jews. I mean, hook-nosed Jews. I mean, had signs and wonders. I mean, they walked with Jesus. They touched Jesus. I mean, They said in order to get somebody to replace him as an apostle, he had to be there since John the Baptist. And so these guys get mad at me and then they walk away because they don't like any verses like this, see? Any verses like this rocks their doctrine. So what makes you right? Give me your verses to rock mine. Right? Then we'll put them together. And you know what they'll say? We don't believe that means that. We don't believe that that really means that. See, back then they talked a little different and they did. No. Sorry, Charlie. Amen. You had Walt Dempseyans, you had Huguenots, you had Peterbrusians, you had all these different people working up to the Anabaptists, and you had the Baptists, amen. You got Bible-believing people that believe the Word of God. I mean, really believe the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that they have an inspired, perfect, preserved Word of God. They ain't falling for that junk. You guys play your little games. When you get up there before the Lord, if you are saved. Why do I say if? What do you mean if? Don't you remember the verses? They should come to your head. They'll come unto me in that day and say, have we not cast out demons in thy name? Have we didn't do this and do that and do the other thing? Put ashes on the forehead. You want to take that toe? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you're not. What's that tell you? That tells you a lot of the boogeyman's people can do a whole lot of spooky stuff. And make gullible Christians that don't know their Bible or don't have a Bible believe it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the book of Revelation. We thank you for the Holy Spirit to illuminate us. Thank you for the people staying here with us and listening. We pray that they retain some of these things that are around when these, you know who they are. They come up to them. And we pray, Father, that you touch us, get over the sickness, especially before the May meeting. Be with all those that we love and who we ask for prayer on the list. And pray that our kids next door are getting something. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sit. So there, tonight, that's it. We're all in chair. We're all in church. We did pray. So it is prayer meeting Wednesday. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll leave the debits and the credits to George. And then he tells him we got another stupid give an account of our finances next class. What in the deal? Why don't they give us a break like for about three classes? I know it's important. At first I thought I was getting an associate degree, you know, liberal arts. Next thing I know. I don't know, but why?
Because it's good information to know.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I didn't know it was in there.